Welcome to the Zulu Time podcast, a straight talking conversation between two watch enthusiasts about the world of military watches. I hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome to episode 87 of the Zulu Time podcast with your host Dan from Timely Underscore Moments. So guys, I hope you enjoyed the last episode where we spoke about 2023 in terms of like an overall opinions on watch releases and the state of the watch industry in 2023 from mine and AJ's point of view. And we also hope that you enjoyed our Christmas gift suggestions. Before I bring my long anticipated guests onto this episode, I've got one other admin point to let you know. So I have set up a Buy Me a Coffee link, which is now linked in the link tree in the bio on the Timely Moments page. The reason I've set that up is because effectively I felt that at the 4-year anniversary of the podcast and the page, that I felt I was kind of like, as an entity, strong enough to kind of put a donation kind of link on there. It's clearly an opt-in thing, but I thought I'd let you know because I shared it once in my stories and that is literally it. So now it exists in the link tree. If you want to go and donate, you can do, and maybe in response to that donation you'll probably get sent a Zulu Time Timely Moments podcast patch. So there you go, that's how we're going to do that. On to this episode. So I finally managed to make the stars align and our schedules align, and I've managed to get Jem and Guy from Elliott Brown to come onto the podcast. So guys, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for giving up your time.
Hey Dan, nice to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So guys, before we talk about everything, you know, Elliott Brown, everything Beachmaster, everything Holton and all the other fun stuff that Elliott Brown are famous for in the watch industry, there's two traditions on this podcast, and the first one is the wrist check and the last one is the closing notes. But as we're at the beginning of the episode and you're my guests, guys, what watches do you have on your wrist today?
Beachmaster.
Which one?
It is the steel auto.
And I'm go on.
I was just saying snap, I actually have that one as well. It's great.
Cool. Right. My favorite go-to watch currently.
And I'm wearing my trusty steel case Tynum.
Nice. I also have a Tynum, but it's not in steel. So there you go. Clearly, I've got either very similar tastes or we've all got good tastes in Elliott Brown watches.
Good tasting, because if I'm not wearing my Beachmaster, I am also wearing my Tynum on the grey wool felt strap.
Nice. I will take that as I have good watch tastes. When it holds the watch that I've got on my wrist, I thought I would bring out my Canford. So I've got my Special Projects Canford, which was my first special project, which I led with you guys, obviously. Successfully sold 112 of these a couple of years ago, and it's fantastic. So that's what I've got on my wrist. And also, everyone knows that I'm a bit of a junkie when it comes to special dials and special projects. Guys, I've had a lot of questions, right, come into me when I've mentioned that you guys are going to come on, right? So I've got a few questions that I will just drop in, and there's not like anything too surprising. However, for those who don't know about Elliott Brown and they haven't listened to my podcast and heard me go and wax lyrical about what you guys do, can you just give me like a quick blurb, a quick summary of who Elliott Brown are, where you are, and what you provide to the watch industry as it stands?
We are 10 years old. We started in 2013, and the Elliott is Ian Elliott and the Brown is Alex Brown, and they both came from an outdoor background. Alex is in fact a horologist, but Ian was the founder of Animal. So comes to life of extreme sports watches with a good heritage. The idea was to create extreme sports watches that you can wear every day. And that's pretty much what we've done for 10 years from that starting point. Sort of early mid to in that process, we got involved with doing military projects, as you well know, and that's become a bit of a stalwart of who we are as well. So we are we are pretty much that. We are extreme sports watches that you can wear every day with a slight military bias, but that doesn't mean that we don't sell to everybody who's looking for a hardy watch.
And you guys, obviously, Guy and Jem yourselves, where do you guys fit in within, obviously, Elliott Brand as a company?
I am head of sales. I have been in the watch industry for more years than I care to contemplate, and have worked for all manner of brands, from high-end Swiss brands to brands in the Far East. I have worked pretty much all over the world and have been here for 8 years.
Cool.
And I am head of marketing, which encompasses pretty much anything that you see outwardly of Elliott Brand would have gone across my desk. I was employed originally to be the photographer here, and that's just kind of grown arms and legs to encompass literally everything. And I've been here 4 years.
Awesome. What's really funny, Jem, is the fact that I did didn't realise that you got the job 4 years ago until I walked into Elliott Brand headquarters, which, if anyone who doesn't know it, is down in Poole. But obviously, I've known you since I joined the army, pretty much, which yep. I found was... you know, one of those kind of small world moments. Yeah, sure. But yeah, so that was a surprise when I came into the headquarters about, when was that? Yeah, 4 years ago, pretty much, and saw you again. But what I was getting at is, clearly, as a team, you've all got loads of experience in terms of watches, watchmaking, and obviously media, and obviously what you guys are putting out. And that clearly comes to fruition with where you guys are sat at the moment as a company and how you're viewed by obviously British watch collectors and obviously wider international watch collectors and obviously the watch industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you have obviously an adventure sports, extreme sports retail side, and then you got this special project side. So in terms of the retail side now, firstly, do you cater, well, you clearly cater for both male and female watches, so there must obviously be different lines. Are there any standout lines within the retail side that, you know, people need to be aware of? Because obviously there's a particular watch or two watches that we're going to talk about today, the Beachmaster and the Holton, which kind of have a very interesting development story. But is there any other watches as well that maybe people don't necessarily know the background to?
Well, I think, you know, Beachmaster and Holton are two good starting points. I think, you know, we have, I can't remember off the top of my head, how many different, eight different collections, thank you. And actually, you know, we sell in a broad range of retail environments. And it's weird that it depends largely on where we're selling as to which watches sell the best. We sell across the board Holton extremely well, without a doubt. It's our best-selling collection. Our blocks with Chronograph, for instance, wouldn't necessarily be a watch that sold to our Holton customers, but it's our best-selling watch in Goldsmiths. So it's a sort of horses for courses thing, I'd say, Dan. Without a doubt, Holton's great. Beachmaster's new, and it's a smaller collection, so it's difficult to gauge, although every time we launch one, we sell out, so we assume it's going to be long-term. But yeah, it's definitely horses for courses. We are much more male-oriented than female-oriented, I would say, even though we have two very successful ladies' collections. It's men's watches for us is easier, and a lot of our female ambassadors wear our men's watches. So, you know, it's a broad church.
I think also the beauty of having eight collections is that they are very different watches in each collection.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you might not be a military watch fan, but we then, as a business, we hold enough stock and different collections that would then appeal to maybe somebody else. So what's fun for me as a marketeer is most independent watch businesses that you kind of see out there, especially the British guys, they will hang their hat on a particular model, a particular style. So our good friends at Vertex, for example, are a military watch. The beauty that we have at EB is that if you're not a fan of military, then there is everything else in our collection that would work for you, from a Camford to a Bloxworth to a Heritage Diver. And that, again, works with the women as well. So we have that ability to really kind of throw that net wider than we would if we were just a halting business.
Yeah, and I think actually what Jem says, Dan, is really important, because it allows us to be slightly more playful even with our military watches. So if you are just a brand that sell military watches, you are quite limited to sort of the earth tones, the khakis, the blacks, and so on, flat art earths, etc. Whereas with us, you know, if we take our blocks with Chronograph or our blocks with Heritage Diver, we do a lot of, you know, fairly wacky colours, you know, bright oranges, cyan blues. Mm-hmm. We've got a bicolour bracelet version of the chrono with gold subdials and a green dial. And I think what that allows us to do is, because people understand us more across all the ranges, it allows us to be more playful with our Holtons, with our more military spec watches. And actually, we're doing that much more now. So next year, we can talk about this later, I'm sure, but next year we're doing a lot more playful styles and designs within our more military style watches. Mm-hmm. As we broaden our horizons in terms of customer base, for definite.
Yeah,
I think it's an interesting couple of points that you raised there. So firstly, you know, something that I want to pull out from my side, as obviously clearly a big Elliot Brown fan and collector of watches, I've got like 6 Elliot Browns, right? All of them are different, even though like a couple are the same model. But all offer, as you said, something completely different in look and aesthetic because of the different dial finishes, the different case finishes. Your range of straps and pairings with that also aid in dressing it up, dressing it down, making it look more, like you said, extreme sport and bright orange for those who like the rescue orange, you know, or luminous coloured straps, right through to, like you said, the more subdued, more, like you said, for want of a better expression, military.
Yep.
Esque military styled, where I've got it on like a black strap or whatever because it's a military project, right? But I think the fact that you guys are, you know, you have a basis in another world, right? Like you said, extreme sports and retail, where you can be more playful, you can be more experimental with colors, and you can bring that into your special projects, be that for the military or for the RNLI or the Mountain Rescue Service and all that kind of stuff. I think it's testament to the fact that, like you said, you don't offer just a single thing, whereas, like you said, other companies who maybe hang their hat on this military bit a little bit too much, like you said, maybe a little bit channeled in what they offer, or when they do step out of what they normally offer to something which probably isn't considered too far left or right of field, people kind of either take notice really and go, oh, that's really cool because it's so different, or they take notice and they go, well, that's not like the aesthetic that we're used to, and they kind of avoid it. So I like the fact that, obviously, in my experience with Elliot Brown, like you said, I've got multiple Elliot Browns in my overall collection. None of them take away from each other, and I never looked at them, you know, as a subsidiary of my collection, kind of go, I could actually get rid of 4 of these and be missing something, you know what I mean, if that makes sense.
I do. So I think a really good example of that is that we're launching a new our Holton GMT autos next year.
And we
had a look at one which was we decided to call the White Out, which was the Vapor Home case with the fully white dial. And we decided to launch that, as I know you're aware, of the Watch Pro Salon, just for 36 hours. And that's quite different for us, quite different. And we sold well over 420 watches in that 36 hours. So I think that shows you that if you do something that's a bit wacky and a bit different, that's outside your normal comfort zone, but it sits within your, you know, your
ballpark.
Yeah, exactly. Then people like the idea and go for it, particularly if it's a limited edition and it's only available for a short time.
Yeah, I think, like I said, this spin with limited edition makes people feel like, I have, I guess, a bit of FOMO, don't they, where they kind of go, I really want that because it's different, right? Talking about, obviously, your retail side and how, obviously, you clearly, you know, successfully launched the White Out, and, you know, you've now got the new colour iterations of the Blocksworth, which we wanted to highlight during this this episode. You said that one was a new take on cyan and orange, and then was the other one a two-tone steel case?
So they're all steel cased. The orange, the orange and the cyan, two separate watches. In the past, we have done both full black PVD cases with these colours highlighted in them, and we wanted to do something that wasn't quite as military as we have done in the past. So we stuck to the steel case, and then the really playful racing green bicolour with the the gold subdials and sunray dial and all that sort of stuff. I mean, we've literally thrown the kitchen sink at it from a design perspective, and it's a beautiful thing to behold, but incredibly different to anything that we've ever done before. So
it's definitely different. It stands out, and it was quite cool. I think for me my favorite one's the orange. I just think when I think about bright colors and Elliott Brown, I always go black and orange. I don't, you know, clearly I'm just now conditioned to think that with some of your previous marketing in the past.
We've definitely hung heavy on the marketing side of the black and orange, so I'm glad that's working. That subliminal kind of message getting there.
And I think just adding the orange chaptering into that as well just makes it pop all the more.
It is really cool. The media that was released for those watches, obviously last week, gave me like a bit of a skater kind of snowboarder vibe. I don't know if that's what you're going for, but that's kind of like, obviously, you know, an element of that was like urban adventure kind of stuff. And I thought it was really cool. In terms of the final bit for retail, before we move on to like special projects, obviously you've tied in now with projects in the retail space, such as Land Rover. You've done special projects for like the RNLI and the Mountain Rescue. How did those relationships with those organizations come about? And are those relationships something that you are, as a company, are going to look to continue? Or is that something that will kind of like move on and you're going to aim off to go, you know, and affiliate with other organizations in the future?
So we basically knocked on the door and asked, I think is probably the simplest answer to that. When Ian and Alex sat down they sort of said, look, if we could collaborate with brands that people understand that are British, what would they be? So Land Rover is a no-brainer, really. We are go anything, go anywhere, do anything watches. They are go anywhere, do anything vehicles. Their heritage is, as we know, superb. So our relationship with Land Rover has changed slightly. We were very much in the forecourts and attached to the new Defender launch, which was absolutely fantastic. We are finding when they have changed, things have changed in their house as well. We fit much nicer within sort of the classic range. So the original Defender 90s and 110s that everybody knows and loves and batters the hell out of, kind of the synergy between the sort of the two products works really nicely. So we are doing... we do a lot with their Land Rover Classics section and have supported their trophy vehicles that they've produced and those sorts of things. So in the future, we hope to continue that relationship. The RNLI was because Ian was actually rescued by the RNLI in the 90s and he wanted to give back to a charity, and they are literally across the water from us. So it was great to be able to do that. That relationship has come to an end. They just wanted to move on to a different watch brand, and that happens in this world. So, but we're still very proud of that affiliation that we had with them, and we raised a lot of money for them, which is always great. And then Mountain Rescue is something is ongoing, and it will continue to be ongoing, and it's actually our best selling Camford. They're the unsung heroes of the outdoors, really, along with the RNLI. Sort of, they're all volunteered run, and to be able to sort of highlight those people is really great for us, and something that we wanted to be able to give back to that community.
I think something a word Jem used earlier is synergy, and with anything we do, with any collaboration we do, there's got to be synergy.
Yeah.
We're never going to just badge something for the sake of it in a sort of more licensed type environment. That's just not who we are. There's got to be an honest, true and relevant story that hooks back to us as a brand.
It's the why question that you ask in everything, like why would we work with them? What does that kind of gain from a business perspective, but also what is the warm and fuzzy that comes with it? And for us, we are, I mean, as a business, we probably give up to 10% of our turnover each year to charity. So that's not something that gets talked about very often, but because we don't do it from a marketing perspective, we do it because we want to actually make those contributions and go about that sort of behind the scenes. So there has to be that reason behind it all.
If there is the possibility of a collaboration in our nearish future, it could be with perhaps another watch brand.
It could be with perhaps another watch brand.
Couldn't it just?
Interesting. On the subject of charity, guys, I think it's fantastic that you guys give back to, you know, give so generously to different causes, you know, like I said, and the fact that you work with, you know, companies and organizations, like you said, that align with some of your key values or, you know, your backgrounds in terms of as a company, I think it's great. You know, as a military project leader with yourselves, you know, that was another element that pushed me to actually approach you when it came to doing the Intelligence Corps Canford, because you were so willing to effectively not only, you know, take my heritage and the Corps' heritage at the time, but then also give back to the Corps and help make people feel like they had done something other than just buy themselves a nice watch, right? You know, yeah. So when it comes to that side of it, you know, and special projects now, I mean, I'm going to use a term, Jen, that you used earlier, which is I basically came cap in hand and knocked at your door, right? That's how I tell people to become a special project leader or at least inquire into that process. But clearly there's a little bit more about it. For those, you know, who want to be project leaders out there, you know, obviously I would encourage you to always drop a line to Elliot Brown. But guys, just could you explain a little bit that process to the audience, other than just saying drop an email? You know, is there like minimum order quantities? Is there a process, and is there like a time frame that people need to understand before they kind of embark on a special project with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would say is go and find our YouTube video about special projects, because that will tell you everything you need to know in 60 seconds, very succinctly. Mm-hmm. And it's also, it's a good, fun, tongue-in-cheek, aimed very much at the military guys. And I think it was something they'll probably quite enjoy. Basically, the project, we have never gone out and found a project. All the projects have come to us. Everyone's knocked on our door through word of mouth or however they've kind of come to the point of realizing that they want a project watch within their unit. Yeah. We have worked with probably every tier one specialist unit in the UK. Mm-hmm. We are chonking our way through every tier one specialist unit in the US. Yeah. And again, it's not something that we openly talk about very often. If you ever were ever to come into HQ, you can see our CV on Alex's wall.
It's an impressive wall.
It is an impressive wall. And it's something we're not allowed to photograph. It is just here. So you have to physically come and see it to understand it. From the actual sort of starting a project concept to delivery, it's about a 6-month process.
Yep.
It is done on pre-order. And there's usually a minimum quantity of 50. So if we talk about the project that we did with you, Dan, because of the, there was a specific number of watches that you wanted to produce. And once we had sold those, that was it. There was no more within that project. And in other ways, we have done ones where we've literally opened it to anybody that may have served within that unit. So a lot of people think, oh, I've not got 50 guys that I work with, but you can pretty much bet that there'll be the old boy network that will now lead up to 50 that would have never have had that recognition or kind of that contact and hark back to to sort of serving that time with that unit. So there's always something to think about there. You would sit down and do the design process with us. We look at things like dates, TRFs, colors, mottos, cap badges, all those sorts of things. Once all of that's agreed, if it is a mod cap badge, then that needs to go through clearance and licensing with MOD. And then once everything's agreed, we set up a expression of interest. We have a number in our head where that needs to get to before we sort of put the project live, but we talk. It's a communicative thing. If we don't feel like it's doing what we need to do, then we find a different way of pushing it out, or would come back to the project lead and say, hey, this isn't going quite as well as we want to. Is there anybody else you can think of that hasn't seen this? And then once the project goes live, there's usually a sort of a 4 to 5 week window where you can buy the watch. It's payment in full, and then we deliver it within sort of the 6 months from that, or from those order books closing. So they are bespoke to the people that put the order down at that point. There's usually personal engraving that goes with it. It depends on the cap badge and what we're allowed to do from a mod perspective about what that engraving can be. But it is a watch for your unit. to be worn proudly. And the beauty of it all is that you have to know that you're wearing it. A lot of people in the past have just put on big logos on the dials and all those sorts of things, where we love to hide things in plain sight. And there's the Easter eggs. So your date wheel, for example, at 19 is your TRF. And that's so much fun. Yeah. And it's something that if nobody owned that watch, you would never know that was there. It's all about the hidden gems, and if you know, you know, which almost kind of creates that further bond with the watch and your unit, and the brotherhood of being part of the military includes.
Yeah, no, I think it's really cool. Like you said, there's the whole the subtlety in your designs, and like you said, that if you know, you know, element to it. What I find really funny now is, as you know, with my current role, you know, I travel around a lot, and I've worked tri-service with loads of, you know, everything from really quite strategic, you know, and high-ranking officers right down to the, you know, most tactical and the newest, you know, enlisted private within the British Army. What I found quite funny is that now wherever I go, I've started to notice Elliot Brown Special Projects knocking around. And it's always one of those moments where you kind of like, after you kind of like meet the person, you kind of get the job done, you kind of actually just kind of go, oh, I like your watch, that's really cool. And it's always met with, in my experience, a lot of positivity and quite a lot of warmth is spoken about you guys as a company and the watch product, watch project itself. And people are always very willing to show it off, you know, when you know, like I said, but when you notice, which is really cool.
That is just to military. We have this sort of, oh, nice watch. And there's so many people that have been sat at a table at a dinner party wearing an Elliot Brown. Oh, you're wearing an Elliot Brown. And that it's a real icebreaker for conversation. We've had people email in saying, I met this fellow Elliot Brown wearer the other day, and he was great. And we sat and had a drink in the bar and all those sorts of things. So it's almost like a club that we seem to have fallen into.
Yes, I think also, you know, a lot of our wearers have got, you know, high-end watch collections, but don't want to use them in whatever their chosen sport is or field of endeavour. And there's a badge of honour that they're getting their EB knocked and scraped doing what they do. And when they find somebody else, they know that they're going to have a synergy with that person and an easy conversation, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I've said it to Alex before, where I've never, again, you know, touch wood, this continues, but in my experience, I've never met anyone via Elliot Brown or through, you know, talking about Elliot Brown watches or special projects, like in the wild, for want of a better expression, and not got on with them to a certain extent. You know, and I just think that's testament to you guys and the fact that clearly positivity, in my experience, would attract positivity. And therefore, the guys and girls who come to you for a special project seem to be of a similar, you know, cut from the same cloth or a similar ilk, which is really cool. You said that you're obviously effectively going international now with these special projects and all that kind of stuff. I was to ask you one of the questions that, you know, was dropped into the by my audience before bringing you guys on, if you were to pull a unit or organization out that you haven't worked with yet but you could work with, who would you pick and why?
That was a clue.
I think,
or we can rephrase it to something along the lines of what was, like, you know, a surprising unit or a cool unit that you never thought that you'd end up, you know, seeing a watch of yours with, you know. And clearly we're talking about the ones that you can mention.
Trumpton Army unit.
That's a really difficult question to answer, because people come to us, there's always that sort of that surprise that people are coming to us. I think there's that kind of gratitude and everything else, but as I said at the very beginning, and we have worked with the very best of the best, and having those come through the door is always a good day. So
I think we have had some very surprising ones over the course of time, but it's just stuff we can't talk about. So and every day's a surprise, isn't it?
So that's a very elusive way of answering that question, but we've been very lucky with the projects that we've come through the door. Some of them have been surprising. And I think that will continue, because as you say, you see more and more of those watches out there, and we don't go looking for it. So it's difficult to sort of have a hit list of who that would be.
But if the guys from Trumpton want to come to us, we're
Trumpton.
Where is Trumpton?
There we go.
60s and 70s, they have an army unit there. They're,
wrong demographic.
They had a fire.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I just... would you... be happy then to say that obviously the special projects inbox is always open for, you know, anyone to approach you.
Absolutely. Because, you know, like I said, there's
so many different units out there across different militaries and different specializations, you know, and you know,
sports teams, it doesn't even have to be a military project. It could be a civvy project that you just sort of like, I don't know, somebody that you're in a group with that have been for so long, and it's that sort of badge of honor that you can wear. So it doesn't have to be a military project.
Cool. Happy days, guys. Obviously drop Elliot Brown a message if you want to create your own watch magic, for want of a better expression. Moving on then, obviously, you've got ambassadors, right? And these are really cool people who do some unique things, and they've done, you know, some very large feats of human endurance, I'd say, you know, everything from climbing Ben Nevis, mountaineering, through to rowing the Atlantic, you know, multiple times, for want of a better expression. How do those relationships with the ambassadors form? Again, is it just people approach you, or is it do you find out through just, again, your contacts and stuff like that, where people are just like, well, actually, I'm off to go do something mental and I kind of need a watch, but your watches would work?
It's often a mix of all those. Yes, it is, without doubt. You know,
we have never gone to seek somebody out. It's always always come to us. We have a fantastic relationship with all of our ambassadors, and it's usually because they've gone on to do crazy things. Mm. And 9 times out of 10, it's because those crazy things mean that if they were going to wear an analog, if they're going to wear a digital watch, they would have to find a way of charging it whilst out in the middle of nowhere. Whereas being an analog watch, you don't have that issue. So yeah, that's usually how those conversations start. One of the things that we have really sort of honed in on recently is making sure that the people that we do look after aren't crowded. So within that space of whatever that feat of endurance is, or that personality has about them, that each of our ambassadors brings something different to the table.
Is it true, Jem, that the guys who rode the Atlantic have a bit of a superstitious element to them, and they'll take the same watch?
So we have it's not a superstition, it's a row it forward watch. So we have it's a Bloxworth chronograph, and one of our very first ambassadors, Billy Taylor, who is now actually an ocean rowing business. So he's just set up a business called the Atlantic Dash. It's in third year this year, and they take teams of people across to row the Atlantic, whereas a bit like the Talisker race, or I can't remember what they call it now, the Atlantic Challenge, which everybody kind of knows if you're in that arena, the Dash gives you the ability to challenge yourself but not feel like you have to compete with everybody else in the pack. So it's a really cool way of, actually, it is a personal challenge rather than sort of a team. Billy had our watch on. He was helping out a guy called Scott Butler, who we also look after, and he was about to row the Black Sea, and he didn't have a watch on his wrist, so Billy gave him his watch and said, here you go, wear this. And that's just kind of grown arms and legs. So it's done, I believe, 15 ocean crossings, which is just insane. And all we've done is change the battery and the strap per wearer. So that's that watch, the row it forward watch.
That's absolutely mental. I haven't done a single ocean crossing unless it's in a plane, just so you aware, or not powered by my arms. So anyone who does that, I think, is just absolutely phenomenal. Talking about aquatic stuff now, and obviously people approaching Elliot Brown, you know, with ideas for special projects in the past, or like you said, to become an ambassador and all that kind of stuff. The Beachmaster is kind of another example where someone effectively approached you and effectively challenged you as a company to design a complication. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, the Holton, if we circle back to that first, the Holton was the same. So we were approached by a military unit that said, hey, you make cool watches. Can you make something that's squatty proof? Now, we're not naive enough to realize that there's no such thing as anything being squatty proof because you'll probably eat it or something daft like that. But we actually designed the Halton with a team. It went through 4 or 5 different iterations, bezel changes and all those sorts of things to make it what it is today. And on the back of producing the Halton, somebody said, have you ever done a mission timer? So that's kind of where that's come from, knowing that we have history in being able to sort of R&D our own watches. That's when that came from.
And you obviously hold the patent for the Beachmaster, so you are the only company that can make that specific complication.
We think it's difficult because you can't go through every patent in the book, but we think it's the first time a British watch company has had a patent on a timing device on the watch for many, many years. So it's quite an honor.
It is. And I own one, like I said, Guy, you know, me and you own the same one, and I think it's fantastic. I absolutely love the watch. It wears really well on my tiny mortal size wrists. I say mortal size wrists because guys take the piss out of me and say they're girly size wrists, but I'm gonna go with mortal. So it wears really well. It's got a unique complication and it's just a cool watch, right? But the collection is cool as well. So, you know, there's the automatic pieces and the quartz pieces for those who don't know. But in terms of that collection and that launch, you know, obviously, I assume it, you know, clearly it went well. And like you said, you sell out of those. Is there like plans for that, obviously, to continue or in terms of that offering? Or is it going to be different colorways? You know what I mean? Is there going to be any slight amendments on that going forward?
Yes, it is going to continue. Yes, there will be some slight colorway changes over the course of time. It did catch us slightly unawares, the success of it. We anticipated it being successful because you always do, but it was more successful than we anticipated, and we did end up selling out and then getting another tranche in and immediately selling out and then launching the quartz version slightly early because we were in that situation. And and then the Nevo version of the quartz sold out. So yeah, it's been really good. It's slightly complicated when you're trying to launch a product when you're selling out before you get the opportunity to actually do very much of a launch.
Yeah, I mean, I've still got media people waiting to see it, but we can't get them to them quick enough.
Really?
We've sold them before we can actually get them out to the media as samples. So yeah, it's been fun.
That's awesome. I didn't know that you'd sold them before, obviously getting them out to reviewers.
I don't think they've actually been reviewed. We've had a couple of quartz reviews done because we've had stock of those, but I don't think any of the autos have actually managed to be reviewed because we just haven't had physical stock to give them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Did you, and again, you know, you can tell me to shut up, but I mean, did you plan it as a release for the 10th anniversary of Elliot Brown and combining it with obviously the now Elliot Brown crew room, which obviously we're going to quickly talk about.
Yes, we did.
So for those who don't know. Say again?
More with the 10th in mind than the crew room necessarily.
Yes, yeah. So guys, I went down to that event and it was awesome. So for those who didn't get to go down, obviously you missed out. Those who were there will probably agree with me that it was awesome. But obviously the 10th anniversary event down in Poole and the opening of the crew room. Guys, what is the crew room all about? And obviously, can people just tip up and visit you there?
The crew room is our boutique, our EB boutique. It's in Poole. At the moment, it's by appointment only. But over the course of time, more will happen and more things will evolve and it will be open on a more regular basis. We have a plan for next year, a series of events that will take us into a much broader spread of opportunity, shall we say, for the crew room, perhaps with collaborations with other brands.
We're looking at doing some brands in residence. Yeah. So to start with kind of local brands that are on a global or sort of certainly on a national scale that might not have their own showroom, those sorts of things. And they will probably do an event around them being in the crew room, and then they will be in the crew room for a period of time. So that will cycle through as well. So there's lots of scheduled in to get going on.
Happy days. In terms of the future for Elliot Brown, then obviously you're going to continue doing awesome things, right? Clearly, I like to think, with releasing some pretty awesome watches with potential charitable elements and all the kind of stuff that you guys are renowned for. you've just released the new Bloxworth and the Whiteout successfully. Are there any new watches or other things that people need to wait out for, pay attention to, obviously looking at the end of the year, looking into early 2024?
Yes, 2024 is going to be a very exciting year for us. We have some big launches, medium launches and some smaller launches. We've got a lot going on. We've got a Canford 2.0, which has taken a lot of time to create and to understand. Canford was our first launch 10 years ago, and to then come at it again as a 2.0 version, you know, needs a lot of thought and a lot of development, and we're there now with that. That's the launch for next year. We are launching our GMT Holtons, automatic GMT Holtons next year, which are the remaining collection from the Whiteout, and then we're also launching a field watch next year. So yeah, in terms of for us, a lot of action next year. Lots of action. It'll be an exciting year.
And will people be able to find, because obviously, like you mentioned, the crew room, I know obviously you've got online direct sales as well. Will people be able to find you in like other locations, like, effectively ADs and all that kind of stuff around the UK?
Yeah, absolutely certain. We sell to Watches of Switzerland Group and Goldsmiths. We're launching with more multiples next year, and we have an array of independent retail jewellers who you will be able to find if you go onto our website and scroll through the stockists list. So more all the time. Even though we are very late in the day, we're launching with a new customer next week, launching a new customer who's a multiple customer in the first quarter of next year. It progresses on. We're having a very strong purple patch at the moment. This year has been very good. Next year proves to be, I think, even better.
Happy days. Exciting times for Elliot Brown. Before we move on to closing notes, obviously, where is the best place that people can get in touch with you? Is it via social media? Is it via the Facebook group that I may have set up as a bit of a joke, but seems to be well received? Or is it just via the website?
Website and email is probably the best way of getting it. But any of those avenues are fine.
Okay. And obviously, just to reiterate, guys, when you engage with Elliot Brown on particularly Instagram, because I do that a lot, it is Gem. It is the headquarters actually engaging with you. It's not just a random person who's just, you know, have nothing to do with Elliot Brown as well.
Unless we've been hacked.
Yeah. Hopefully not. But yes, guys, it is obviously.
Yeah, it is me. Yeah.
Yes, it is Gem. Okay. Guys,
be nice.
Exactly. Always be nice, because otherwise you'll get a potential different watch order sent through. Potentially, I don't know. Thank you so much for coming on to my show. It's been fantastic to get you on. And I know it's been a shorter episode because of our schedules. But hopefully maybe in 2024, we can get you on when you're doing, you know, maybe a bigger launch to talk about that. And I think that'd be really cool for my audience. But
come down to the crew room and do it from the crew room.
I'd love that. Yeah, I might even do a video version of the podcast for that to show off your space, because it's amazing. Guys, thank you very much. We're going to move on to closing notes very quickly. So if you have a closing note that isn't Elliot Brown related, obviously you're more than welcome to mention it now. If not, I'll move on to my one before we wrap up the episode.
A book to read is something called How to Kill Your Family by Bella Mackey. It's fabulous.
Interesting.
It is a fiction, but it's a very good read. I thoroughly recommend it.
And that's also the other reason why you need to be nice to Gem, because she's going to have to kill people through fiction, guys. So there you go.
If you like great music, there's a film called Oil City Confidential, which is brilliant.
Cool. Oil City Confidential. I've not heard of that one, so we'll.
It's a biopic on Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, nuts!
The Canvey Island British Blues Band.
Cool. Happy days, guys. My closing note is a book as well, but it's not fiction. It's called Combat Camera, and it was written by a man called Christian Hill, and it was basically his exposure of leading a combat camera team in Afghanistan, which I think is quite a unique take on somebody's personal experience of conflict. I'm obviously a little bit biased given my current role, so there's that. And then I also want to shout out a company called Paid to Raid. So Paid to Raid is a MARSOC Marine owned veteran owned company, and they're a soft goods company out in America, and they raise a lot of money back to the Marine Raiders Foundation and the wider US Marine Corps through their sales. So if you like all of that kind of stuff, bags, hats, t-shirts, wallets, all that kind of stuff, go check them out as well, because they're just good people doing good things and, you know, giving back to charity, which is all good. And then my final one is the Watch Annual 23 for all you watch nerds out there who are listening. If you haven't got it, go get it, because it's a great book. And I'm pretty
sure in it.
You're in it. Yeah, exactly.
We're there in it. Go. Yeah. The Beachmaster Ghost is in it.
And that was actually submitted by one of your ambassadors, a guy called Guy Eilert, who's a really good bloke.
It was.
Happy days. Guys, thank you very much for coming on. Pleasure. Look forward to talking to you for potentially a different, you know, kind of a release or what you guys have got going on in 2024. I hope you have a great Christmas break and a good Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too.
Take care.
No worries. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.